Today, the title of the sermon is Letting Go of Bitterness, right? Letting Go of Bitterness. And the passage, the main passage is Romans chapter 3. And it kind of talks about what was going on, I guess, in the Roman world, what Paul was seeing outside. And this is what how he describes it. He says, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. And that's, you know, this, as I read that, that's how I feel what's going on in the world right now. And during this pandemic, we worry about our health. You know, it's a very important issue. And you know, when we had the outdoor service, it was really good to have that outdoor service last Sunday. And you know, some people want more of it, but it was just just so difficult. You know, people had to come 3 hours earlier and to set up and stuff. And right now, just too much work. But we will have another one in October, but when we saw different people from the church, a lot of the conversation was about the weight, you know, their weight, and we talked about how much, you know, some people have gained and how much some people have lost, and you know, some of the conversation was how, you know, about food. Some people don't care. Some people are very careful about what they eat. But there's a bigger issue that's happening in our heart inside of us that we need to address, and it's concerning health too. It's concerning health. Not what you are eating, but what is eating you. Okay? Not what you are eating, but what is eating you. And what eats us is bitterness. Okay? Bitterness. And as a believer, we live in a broken world. And, you know, last 6 months, we have seen how broken this world is in the last 6 months. The pandemic, the social distancing, the isolation, racism, riot, violence. There's, you know, relationship breakdown due to stress and being cooped up. You know, I never saw so much division and conflict in the media and in the government. And Romans 3 is describing what's going on, and I could relate with Romans 3 because I feel like it's describing what's going on in the world right now. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. You know, just turn on the news, and speech is filled with vicious curse and bitter resentment. People are quick to react violently with anyone who disagrees. Bitterness is all around us. Bitterness is all around us. And the great danger is that we become bitter like the world around us. Like the world around us. We allow the pandemic, the isolation, the stress of, you know, kids' school situation, the politics, the injustice, the violence, the fear, the relationship conflict, the hurt, the rejection, the disrespect. And like the world, we become bitter, like the world. Next few months, I don't need to be a prophet to see this. The next few months, the world is going to go more crazy, okay? Especially before and after the election. The world is going to go more crazy. Bitterness will be all around us. The two parties, the major party, will verbally attack each other. Speech will be filled with curse and bitter resentment. People will react violently when they disagree. But this is my challenge to Catalyst. And I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, you're for the Green Party, or Independent, or you're a Libertarian. You are first a Christian, You're first a Christian. As a Christian, you know who you are in Jesus Christ. You're first a citizen of the kingdom of God. You're a child of God. You are first a Christian. Do I hear an amen? So, as a Christian, don't pick up the bad habits of the world. Don't act like unbelievers. Don't be that fountain, you know, in the book of James. James talks about this fountain. On Sunday, spring of fresh water comes out, and then we go home and salty water comes out. He says, it shouldn't be. That's not what a believer should do. When we worship, we praise God with our mouth, and when we are in the world, outside of the church, we curse with our mouth. Don't allow the world and the devil make you hold on to bitterness. Why? You know, because there's a cost. I'm going to talk about this. There's a cost to bitterness. And what are some costs? I came up with, there's four that I have. Number one, bitterness will make me miserable. It will make me miserable. Hebrews 12 says it causes trouble for you. Okay? It will cause trouble in your life. And Job chapter 10 verse 1 says, when I'm bitter, I loathe my life. Okay? I loathe my life. When you hold on to bitterness, you're causing trouble. That's what causes trouble in your life. And the Bible says, I hate my life because of bitterness. And when you hold on to bitterness, you're holding on to, this is what you're doing, I just need to point it out, you're holding on to unhappiness. Right? Happiness is a choice. And when you're holding on to bitterness, you're choosing to be unhappy. I never saw a bitter person happy. If you have seen somebody who's bitter, really happy, please let me know. I haven't seen it. Because when you hold on to bitterness, you're choosing to be unhappy. Bitterness is a worthless weapon. You know, we hold on to it thinking it's a good weapon, but it's a worthless weapon. Bitterness doesn't hurt the offender. It hurts you. It is like drinking poison and hoping that it will hurt the offender. Bitterness is a way you continue to let the offender hurt you, even though you don't have any contact with them. Bitterness will suffocate your soul. It is a heavy weight that you carry in your soul. It will strangle your soul. It will depress your spirit. Bitterness makes you miserable. Okay? Oh, it's my mom, my dad, it's this family member, it's this friend. No, it's bitterness that makes you miserable. Number two, what's the cost of bitterness? It makes others miserable. And the same passage, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, says, when you hold to bitterness, many becomes defiled. It doesn't say few. It says many become defiled. Bitterness is like COVID-19. It is highly contagious. It's highly contagious. We worry about, catching COVID-19, but we don't worry about other people catching our bitterness. Bitterness is highly contagious. One bitter person can make everybody in the family miserable. A bitter person will poison and ruin everybody else. Bitterness is all too easily passed from one generation to another generation. You know, it's not just for 3 weeks that you get sick with bitterness. Bitterness could go from generation to generation to generation. You know, I told this, I gave this illustration a long time ago in one of the renewal. You know, when I was at the other church, in that church, there was a lot of intermarriage, multi-ethnic marriage. There was one marriage, you know, it was with a Korean lady and a white guy, you know. And so when he got married, he realized he saw something in the Korean culture. And he came to me and he talked to me. And he asked, you know, my wife's side of the family, you know, all the relatives, you know what I see? He said, you know, in the Korean family, there's an issue between the wife and the in-law. That's what, you know, there's always an issue. And so, why? He asked, why? So I told him this story. Well, because I'm Korean, you know, what happened was 800 years ago in Korea, okay, there was a couple that got married, and the mom, you know, was very mean to the wife, you know, the in-law. And the wife got bitter, right? And then she had children, and her son got married. But because her mother-in-law hurt her, she decided to hurt and be mean to her daughter-in-law. Well, it continued from generation to generation, and it spread. And then it became a cultural issue. Why? Because of, is this true? No, it's not true. I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is bitterness could spread. And you see this in nations. You know, conflict in tribes and nations. It spreads. And it continues from generation to generation. It makes others miserable. Number three, it makes me sick. Okay, it makes me sick. Job chapter 21, verse 25, it says, another dies in bitterness of soul. Okay? Another dies in bitterness of soul. Bitterness will kill you. It can kill you. It causes high blood pressure. It affects your metabolism. It affects your immune response. It affects your organ function, causes physical fatigue, loss of sleep. It causes anxiety and stress, depression, personality disorder, psychosis. Right? After a while, when you hold on to bitterness, you'll see this. After a while, you will see the bitterness etch into their eyes and facial muscle as a permanent reflection of their inward feeling. There are some people I never met. I'll just see them like, I don't even have to talk. They're bitter. They're very bitter. You could just see it in their face. I believe we can get rid of, if we could get rid of and we let go of bitterness, you know, if we could find a vaccine to bitterness, if we had the vaccine to bitterness, I believe we could empty out the hospitals. We could empty out the hospitals. Bitterness makes me sick. Number four. Bitterness makes me far from God. Okay? Bitterness makes me far from God. James chapter 1, verse 20, because of bitterness, it says it does not produce the righteousness God desires. It prevents the righteousness that God desires. Bitterness is a sin. If it is choosing, okay, when you hold on to bitterness, it is choosing to disobey God. Choosing to be out of God's will, forfeiting the blessing of God, choosing not to be used by God. Okay? If you hold on to bitterness, God cannot use you. God cannot use you. When you are bitter, there is an inability to love God. You will doubt your relationship with God. You cannot pray effectively. You cannot worship freely. You cannot hear God. with bitterness. The worst, you know, thing about bitterness, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17, if you hold on to your bitterness, if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. If you choose to hold on to bitterness, what does it mean? Right? We don't know how to love. We don't know grace, kindness, the mercy of God. If I harbor, hold, or choose to be bitter, you know, again, just summarizing, I will be miserable. It makes everybody around me miserable. It makes me sick. It makes me far from God. So I hope I convinced you, okay? I hope I convinced you, bitterness is not worth it. Okay? Can you say that to each other? Bitterness is not worth it. Okay? Yeah. So, you know, don't go one more second holding on to bitterness. Okay? Instead, what should you do? What should we do? I came up, three things to let go of bitterness. Right? There's three things, it's right up there right away. three things to let go of bitterness. Number one, and we all know, and a catalyst, we've been teaching this and preaching this and practicing this, in this church. Forgive, okay? To let go of bitterness, you need to forgive. Okay? Forgiveness is choosing to stop being bitter. It's a biblical way of choosing to stop being bitter. I'm not going to be bitter anymore. You're choosing to stop being the judge, the jury, and the executioner to the offender. But instead, what you're doing, you're acknowledging you're not God, that you are limited in your understanding. You're not going to respond with bitterness. You choose to respond with grace. Forgiveness is refusing to be bitter. You release, instead of holding on to you, you release the offender to God. Okay, that's what forgiveness is. You're releasing the offender to God. You acknowledge God is the best judge, jury, and executioner. You release the cost on yourself. You release the cost that they owe you and give it to God. You're giving it to God. And you trust God to handle the offender, God to vindicate you. That's a simple teaching on forgiveness, biblical forgiveness. And number two, I know you see looking at that, what is Pastor Sam talking about? But this is a unique time, modern world. Number two, avoid social media and the news. Right? Avoid social media and the news. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says, In every place of worship, everyone to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or quarreling. Okay? Instead of being bitter, it says, worship God. Communicate with God. Lift up your hands to God, not lifting up your hands in anger, your fist. But raise up your holy hand, not your fist. Right? This is what this passage is saying. But when you look at the social media, the platform, their goal is to hook. And if you go on YouTube, their goal is for you to keep watching video after video after video after video, not stop. Not just one video. But their goal, through their algorithm, is to make it so that you don't just watch one video, but that you watch hours of video. Okay? That's their goal. Why? Because every time you watch one, they make money. You watch another one, they make more money. You watch three, they make more money. And that's why they're so rich right now. That's their goal. Right? They don't care about you. They just want, you are there so that they can make money off of you. That's why they're gathering all the data. You know, we released it so that they could gather every data what we do online. All right? And so, you know, every time you click the page, watch another video, respond to a comment, listen, watch a news, right? They get money. And they need you to constantly click and watch so they can make more money off of you. Right? And so to do that, they have to hook you. Okay? And like, for example, I was interested in this one car, specific car, Honda Civic Type R. Okay, it's not even, you know, it's a very specific. I Googled it once. I go to Facebook, I saw advertisement for it. I go to YouTube, I saw a video for Honda Civic Type R. I go to the news page, guess what? Articles on Honda, not just Honda Civic, Honda Civic Type R. We all know this, okay? Yeah, we know this, right? You're not, you know, we know this happens, but we don't understand that this problem, okay, is related with bitterness. Okay? For example, one day, you know, I saw a video that says problem with Harley Davidson. Right? I watched that video. And I agree, oh yeah, it makes sense. A couple hours later, there was another video on Harley Davidson, how another problem with it. And I watched that. And then next thing I know, on the recommended, there's a whole bunch of videos on the problem with Harley Davidson. I watched it, I watched it, I watched it. Now I am convinced Harley Davidson is the worst motorcycle that you could have. Not only that, because I kept on watching it, I am convinced now Harley Davidson is the worst company in the world. I didn't have that judgment before. Now I do. Right? COVID-19, COVID, coronavirus. If you have fear and you go to the news, go to Facebook, Instagram, okay? You go to the YouTube, you know what it's gonna do? To keep you, keep clicking and clicking, and they had to create greater fear. Say you feel like it's not that big of a deal. Coronavirus, it's not that bad. And so they got your data, and they'll feed you. It's not a big deal. And they'll feed you more and more and more. Later on, you're convinced everything's conspiracy. You're a Democrat. You go on social media, a month later, you'll think Republicans are all evil. Republicans, you go on social media, you'll be convinced all Democrats are evil. You see, to make you keep clicking. I'm not saying they're trying to cause division. They just want to make money off of you. Right? And to hook you, it's not just what interests you, but they realize things that stirs your emotion. They have that data on you. And what makes you angry, once they got that data, they'll keep feeding you that. The negative news. You know why there's negative news? People keep clicking the most negative news. That's why the headline will be the most negative, because it will keep feeding you. Things that tempt you, Once they got that, they had that data. Google has that data on you. And they will feed you through Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. Without knowing, things that cause you to be bitter, it feeds you. And feeds you and feeds you. This is one of the reasons I really believe, you know, we're getting more and more upset as a society. Okay? More and more intolerant as a society. More and more divided. More and more violent. More and more bitter. So my challenge, it's going to be crazy next few months. Stay off the social media. High school kids. But it's not just high school parents and myself. It's really difficult. We're all hooked. First thing that you do when you get up is you'll look at your phone. We're all hooked. Don't blame the kids. We're all hooked. Stay off the social media as much as you can. Stay off the news. Instead, lift up holy hands to the Lord. Spend time praying, meditating on scripture. Have quality time with your family, with your loved ones. Read a good book. Amen? Amen? Yeah, I need to speak out about that because, you know, this is such a new thing, you know. Drugs, we all know how it addicts people. But this is a new thing. But it's gonna, people are gonna see this, you know. So let's do that. Number three. To let go of bitterness. Number three, speak kindness. Okay, speak kindness. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, let your conversation always be full of grace, meaning kindness. The Bible says in James 3, your tongue is like a rudder of a big ship. And what it does is it will steer which way it will go. James 3 says, a small spark, your tongue's like a small spark in a great forest. That small spark can ruin the whole forest, you know, burn the whole forest. The book of Proverbs talks about our word, that it has a lot of power. It could build a city and it could ruin a city. Words have power. God created the universe with his words. There's life and power in our words. Okay? There's life and power in our words. Our words have power to do tremendous good, and our words also have power to do tremendous damage. And so, to let go of bitterness, let our words be filled with grace and kindness. Okay? If we want to be people of faith, we need to speak words of life to one another. Words that encourage. Words that bring out the best in us. Words that believe, that strengthens one another. So, let's speak out kindness, grace. Let's speak out truth. Speak out the Bible. Speak out blessing. Let's speak life. And the church said, amen. Let's worship the Lord.